The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the July-August 2023 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go right to the very front cover with the title, Game Faces. And at the top, World Cup 2023. The United States heads down under, eyeing a historic three-peat. And as we turn into the front cover, lo, the lineup. Major leaguers are celebrating home runs like never before. Page 18. Page 20, the winner's curse. These teams made history in the regular season, but came up short when it mattered most. Forget free agency and trades. What if the transfer portal was a real thing that anyone could use? Page 22. Page 42. It's the ultimate road trip. We've got a must-see sports site in each of the 50 states. And finally, on page 48, Jet superstar Ahmad Sauce Gardner is both a generous soul and a brash cornerback. World Cup 2023, page 34. All eyes will be on a new-look United States women's national team as soccer's biggest event goes down under. In the FAS for this month, freeze frame is on page 2. Sports cards, page 7. On page 9, we'll find hot take. And on page 13, there are birthdays. Posters, page 27. The treehouse, page 31. What's the call? Page 52, games, page 53, art gallery, page 54, on page 56, Buzz Beamer. Let's go to freeze frame. Ooh, we have a bunch of, oh, looks like a billboard. Well, no, it's the back of a stadium. 50, Seattle, 5, 7, 49, Detroit, 0, 22, Atlanta, 55, 2, 59, 17, Toronto, Los Angeles Angels, 48, 47, Cleveland Guardians. Let's find out. And we have, ooh, a player here jumping up and down. Oh, maybe making a catch against the wall. Ooh, let's find out. Juan Yepes didn't get the, well, let's start with the date. May 13th, 2023, Boston, Massachusetts. Juan Yepes didn't get the catch, but he did get plenty of information about what else was happening around the major leagues. While chasing a ball off the bat of Boston's Rob Reibsnyder, the Cardinals left fielder crashed into the Green Monster, which houses the out-of-town scoreboard at Fenway Park. Two runs scored on the play, but St. Louis rallied to win 4-3. And on our next freeze frame, ooh, swimming. Picture of a swimmer here from, looks like, the British Isles. You can tell by the flag. Bubbling under. May 19, 2023, Mission Viejo, California. Though it appeared as if the water was trying to hold Alicia Wilson down in the preliminaries of the 200-meter backstroke at a TYR Pro Swim Series event, she eventually broke through the surface. Wilson, who represented the UK at the Tokyo Olympics, finished with the fifth fastest time in the prelims. The event was ultimately won by Claire Curzon of the United States. Moving on to who's who. Page 8. At the top of the page, we're going with Pablo Banchero of the Orlando Magic. He's a forward. His height is 6'10". His weight is 250 pounds. He was born November 12, 2002, in hometown Seattle, Washington. Following a season in which he averaged 20 points and 6.9 rebounds per game, Banchero was named NBA Rookie of the Year. The first pick in the 2022 draft, Ventero became the second teenager after LeBron James to have at least 30 points and 15 rebounds in a game, which he accomplished November 5th against the Kings. But did you know the Rookie of the Year is awarded the Wilt Chamberlain Trophy, named for the Hall of Fame center? Next, we have Andy Sullivan, tennis player, no, soccer player, midfielder. Her height is 5'6". She was born December 20th, 1995, in her hometown, Lorton, Virginia. Sullivan became a mainstay at the defensive midfield for the United States in 2022, starting 20 of the team's last 24 games. She has 3 goals and 5 assists in her 44 caps. In the 2021 NWSL Championship game, Sullivan scored the first goal for the Washington Spirit, who went on to win the game 2-1. But did you know the term cap, which means an appearance in an international game, dates to 1886 when English players were given matching hats? Minkah Fitzpatrick, Pittsburgh Steelers safety. His height is 6'1", his weight is 207 pounds. He was born November 17, 1996, hometown Old Bridge, New Jersey. For the third time in 4 seasons, Fitzpatrick was a first-team All-Pro. He had 6 interceptions and 11 passes defensed. In college, Fitzpatrick was a 2-time All-American and helped Alabama win 2 national titles. In 2018, he was a first-round pick of the Dolphins, who traded him to Pittsburgh 2 games into his second season. Did you know, though, the Steelers are the only team in the NFL that have a logo on just one side of their helmets? Didn't know that. Warm-up. Don't Play the Lottery, by Kip Shoremore. Has a picture here of hot property. Miami's Struce, Vincent, and Butler from left teamed up to stifle Boston. Something strange happened in the NBA Finals, and I'm not talking about when Nikola Jokic threw his teammate Jamal Murray into a pool after the clincher. I have some thoughts about violating rules about horseplay near pools, but I'm going to keep them to myself, at least until my editors approve my request for the personal security detail. I don't need a player with notoriously wild brothers coming after me. No, what was really odd was that one of the teams involved in the series, the Denver Nuggets, actually made a trade while the finals were still going on. It was hardly a blockbuster. Denver sent a 2029 first-round pick to the Thunder in exchange for a 2023 second-round pick and a first-rounder and a second-rounder next year. Oklahoma City potentially has 4 first-rounders in 2024, and the pick that goes to Denver will be the least favorable. So the Nuggets essentially traded a first-round pick in the future for 3 late picks in the present. It was a pretty genius move. Look, Denver isn't going to get a prize prospect with any of those picks, but look at what we saw in the finals. Denver was led by Jokic, who was the 41st pick in the 2014. One of the breakout stars in this series was guard Bruce Brown, who was a second-round pick in 2018. Sure, the Nuggets have a couple of lottery selections, but with the exception of Murray, they're all glue guys, the kind of players who scrap and rebound and do the dirty work. Then look at the team Denver beat in the finals. Miami won the Eastern Conference thanks to Jimmy Butler, who was the last pick of the first round in 2011. Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, and Caleb Martin played huge minutes throughout the postseason, and none of them were even drafted. Miami got to the finals by beating Boston, which was led by a big three of Jason Tatum, third pick, Jaylen Brown, third, and Marcus Smart, sixth. It's not the first time the Heat have humbled a team loaded with lottery talent. Last year, they knocked out the 76ers, a team known for adhering to the process, in other words, tanking for top picks. So what's the lesson? easy. Don't obsess over lottery picks. For starters, plenty of people think the draft lottery is rigged. I have some thoughts about that, but I'm going to keep them to myself, at least until my editors approve my request for that personal security detail. I don't need an angry commissioner coming after me. But even if the lottery is on the level, it's much easier to look for elite talent elsewhere, especially if you're willing to part with your picks. Of course, you can strike gold with a LeBron James or a Joel Embiid at the top of the draft, but plenty of high first-rounders have been busts. And once you find an A-list player, by all means, turn your attention to the overlooked guys, ones who aren't high on draft boards, the ones who, when they were kids playing pickup games at their magazine office treehouse, never got picked early, all because Whitney doesn't think they can jump high enough, or, sorry, I got a little worked up there. Where was I? The lottery. The finals showed us the best way to build a team. Of the 37 players who have been picked first since the lottery was instituted in 1985, only four have won a title for the team that picked them. Winning a lottery requires a certain amount of luck, but avoiding it in the first place might be the luckiest play of all. The grid. We have New Orleans Pelicans guard Trey Murphy, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Jesse Winker, and Washington Spirit midfielder Chloe Ricketts. Here's the question. Who is your favorite athlete outside your sport? Murphy says Arike Ogunbowale of WNBA. Jesse Winker says Jim Kelly, football player from the Buffalo Bills, quarterback. And Chloe Ricketts says Michigan Wolverines running back Blake Corum. What's something you'd like to do in the near future? I want to make a run for the playoffs, says Trey Murphy. Jesse Winker says travel to Europe. Chloe Ricketts says score a couple of goals. What move have you seen the most times? What movie have you seen the most times? Trey Murphy says semi-pro. Jesse Winker says Goodfellas. And Chloe Ricketts says The Little Mermaid. What's your favorite place in the world? Trey Murphy III, by the way, says Miami. Jesse Winker, anywhere with my daughter. And Chloe Ricketts says Arizona. I like the weather and wildlife. What's your favorite snack? Trey Murphy III says mint Oreos. Jesse Winker says chicken wings. And Chloe Ricketts says cool ranch Doritos. And finally, who is the GOAT in your sport? Trey Murphy says Kobe Bryant. Jesse Winker says Barry Bonds. And Chloe Ricketts says Marta. Interesting. Continue with warm-up on page 12. Future stars. Kevin Sullivan. His hometown, Philadelphia. His birth date is September 28, 2009. His sport, soccer. When he steps onto the soccer field, Philadelphia Union Academy midfielder Kevin Sullivan oozes confidence. He's mimicked Alex Morgan's tea-sipping celebration twice after scoring against Arsenal in England's under-15 sides. Kevin, at 13, earned a spot on the Generation Adidas Cup's Best 9 after guiding the Union to the under-15 final, and he's motivated to live up to the hype. I see the stories about top prospects, then they fall off, says Kevin. That's one of my biggest fears. It definitely motivates me to do more and keep pushing. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. It has some nice pictures here of a good-looking guy standing here with the soccer ball in his hand, and then some looks like he's doing a ready for a strike. And balancing the ball on his forehead. Next, we have tennis. Novak by the numbers. In June, Novak Djokovic won the French Open. That's him in the above photo. It's understandable that he celebrated by lying down. The guy has to be exhausted. The win gave him 23 men's Grand Slam finals, breaking his tie with Rafael Nadal. I knew that going into the tournament that there is history on the line, but I try to focus my attention and my thoughts into preparing for this match in the best way possible to win, like any other match, Djokovic said after beating Casper Ruud in the final. Of course, I would lie if I say that I didn't think about the finish line that is right there and that one more match is needed to win a trophy, a historic one. Djokovic has won the Australian Open 10 times and the French Open 3 times. He's captured 7 Wimbledon titles and has won United States Open 3 times. In those 23 Grand Slams, he has played an astonishing 30,001 points, and he's won 16,829 of them. That's 56%. When it comes to games, he's won 62.7%, or 3,247 out of 5,176. Even more impressive, in his Grand Slam victories, Djokovic has lost just 76 sets while winning 475. How does the Joker do it? Well, it helps to have a blistering accurate serve. In his wins, he has had 1,243 aces and just 352 double faults. And what's the toll? Well, his 23 Grand Slam finals took a total 76 hours, 55 minutes, or more than 3 full days of tennis. Birthdays. July 2nd, Los Angeles Sparks power forward Nika Ogunwike turns 33. July 11th, Chicago Cubs starting pitcher Justin Steele is 28. Warm-up, soccer, question and answer. Chloe Ricketts. On May 10th, Chloe Ricketts started her first NWSL game for the Washington Spirit in a Challenge Cup match against the Orlando Pride at the age of 15. Afterwards, she chatted with Kid reporter Alani Jordan. SIK, with your daily schedule now that you've signed a pro contract, do you have time for socializing? Chloe, I have a lot of time for socializing. My schedule isn't too different because I was homeschooled most of last year as well. I just wake up, I go to practice, then I go home, complete my classes, and then I hang out with my friends after. SIK, how do you keep up with your schedule for school and soccer? Chloe, well, the club has done a really great job in integrating me and making sure I have my schoolwork done and that I have enough time to complete everything. SIK, what is the coolest place that you've ever played soccer? Chloe, well, when I was 10 years old, I went to Portugal, and that was by far the coolest. SIK, do you think boys' soccer leagues are more competitive than girls' soccer or elite or academy leagues? Chloe, I do not think there is a real difference. I played in both, and I think playing with boys can help you develop as a female athlete because typically they play faster than girls. But in my experience, girls are more aggressive. SIK, this is a new team and a brand new experience. How have you been received by your teammates? Chloe, I'm like the little sister of the team, and everyone wants me to feel welcomed and feel great. And they're doing a great job of teaching me what professional life is and just integrating me into the team. SIK, is there an athlete who inspired you in your sports journey? Chloe, there's lots of athletes that inspired me in my sports journey, but if I had to name one, I would have to say Trinity Rodman on my team. Just her work ethic alone makes me feel empowered every day, and I want to live up to what she's doing. And that's a picture of on the top, Chloe. Fast start. Since signing a pro contract in March, Ricketts has become a fan favorite in Washington. And then in the middle of the page has a picture taken some taking some selfies with some fans. Continuing with warm-up on page 16, Art Attack. Double flex, draw your very own self-portrait. Do you ball and draw, catch and sketch? Okay, we'll stop. If you like the professional illustrators on these pages, are both an athlete and an artist, draw yourself playing your sport of choice and then submit it to artgallery@si.com with the subject line self-portrait. Show us your skills in the game with your skills on the page. There's no wrong way to express yourself. Behold the variety of styles. David Barker, artist, basketballer. When I have the ball, I'm always happy. That's why I've drawn myself happy, says David, who lives in Milan, Italy, and plays on a small team of friends. When making your own self-portrait, follow David's lead and include details that make it personal and specific to you. I have the jersey of my team. Our name is Magic Utah, which I know could sound strange, especially for an Italian team. All my tattoos, there's also a basketball, and my blue hair. And even though David's portrait looks like it was created with magic markers, that was actually an effect he replicated digitally in Photoshop. But the tools don't matter. Use whatever material expresses you best. I wanted to use that marker's feel because it brings me back to my childhood, and I'm still a child inside. Madison Ketchum, artist, golfer. For this piece, I wanted to reflect the honest truth about my golf game, says Madison, who lives in Philadelphia, which is that I am not exactly the greatest, but I love it and always have fun. She says that art is like sports. Keeping practice fun helps you get better. All those hours doodling in class or putting golf balls in your bedroom count towards practice. You just don't realize it because you're enjoying it. I think the person I am as an athlete and as an artist are very similar. I try not to take myself too seriously, and I'm always looking for moments where I can make people laugh. If you can emulate Madison by infusing your artwork with humor or the hint of a story, people will connect with it even more. That's a picture here, and hitting her driver. Oh, boy, I crushed that. It looks like the ball went just a couple of inches in front of her. I hope it's on its way out there. John F. Malta, artist, street hockey shredder. Perfect perspective? Accurate anatomy? Who cares? Be like John and body check the rules into the boards. A Kansas City-based artist who plays street hockey three times a week and helps run a club called Kansas City Ball Hockey, John describes his art style as a candy-colored haunted punk wonderland. Art is whatever you want it to be. Unlike in sports, you don't have to stay inside the lines. My goal was to capture the joyous feeling I have while pounding the pavement and playing the game, he says. That joy is seen in details, too. That's my dog, wearing a matching jersey. He's a tiny 8-pound Chihuahua Minpin named Porky. Nice picture of John here on the move, and Porky right along with him. Page 18, Dinger Delight. It's out of here! Major League players are celebrating home runs like never before, and everyone is getting in on the act. Baseball is a game of unwritten rules. You could also say silly unwritten rules, but that's a whole other discussion. One of them has always been that celebrating a home run too much is a no-no. Many a fight has started because someone flipped a bat or spent too much time admiring a tater. But things have changed, at least so long as the celebration takes place in the dugout. Teams are coming up with elaborate rituals for when a player goes yard. The Pirates, for instance, give the slugger a cutlass to brandish. The Orioles let the player drink water from the homer hose, something most of them did as kids when they were playing in the yard. The Red Sox give the home run hitter a set of giant inflatable dumbbell weights. The Twins pretend to go fishing. Surprisingly, many of the celebrations on display were orchestrated by pitchers. We've got a lot more time on our hands than the position players do, Orioles reliever Keegan Aiken says. I think that's how all those ideas come about. Consider the Reds. Luis Sessa began thinking about the topic last year when he moved from the bullpen to the starting rotation, which meant he'd be spending a lot more time in the dugout. He was struck by outfielder Jake Fraley, who sports a beard and long blonde hair. Sessa was reminded of a Viking, so he began working on a Norse-themed celebration. He ordered a metal helmet online, but it proved to be a little dangerous. It was pretty sick, second baseman Jonathan India says, but it was really heavy. It could have cut some people in the face. So Sessa found a plastic replacement, and the team holds a celebration in spring training. When a hitter goes yard, he's adorned with a hat and a cape, and after significant homers, his teammates pretend to row a boat behind him. The trend shows no signs of letting up. It's great, says Andrew McCutcheon of the Pirates, who became the first player to wield the team's home run cutlass in April. You got to find a way to have fun and celebrate the small things as much as you can. So here we have on page 19, the team, Boston, with the dumbbells and with the hose for the Baltimore Orioles. Giving props, weights, hoses, swords, and Viking helmets are among the objects sluggers are using in their post-homer rituals. Fast facts. Through the first round of the 2023 season, Rodriguez, and we're talking about Julio Rodriguez, had 10 homers and 32 RBIs along with 12 stolen bases. Last season, at age 21, he was named the American League Rookie of the Year after hitting .284 with 28 home runs and 25 stolen bases, making him the first player in his debut year with 2025 season. Rodriguez signed a 13-year contract extension last August with guarantees of 12 years and $210 million if he hit certain incentives. It could be worth $470 million over 17 years. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.